Good evening and welcome to this special Friday edition of the KRFP Evening Report. On today's show, we'll have coverage of two protests. First, today's march for solidarity with the people of Egypt, Tunisia, and other countries in the Middle East, organized by University of Idaho students. Then we'll hear some extended interview clips from last Saturday's protest against the megalodes in Lewiston on Memorial Bridge. But first, these headlines. The co-chairs of the legislature's Joint Finance Appropriations Committee have sent a letter to other committee chairs saying cuts to education and Medicaid could be more than $100 million this year. Representative Maxine Bell of Jerome and Senator Dean Cameron of Rupert say the state's revenue deficit now stands at $138 million. The figure is from Legislative Budget Director Kathy Holland-Smith, who told the Lewiston Tribune website today the amount could mean a 5.3% across-the-board budget cut in the absence of new taxes or other new forms of revenue. If that were the case, state K-12 education funding would be cut by $66 million instead of Governor C.L. Butch Otter's proposed $21.6 million increase. That would also mean an $11.6 million cut in higher education funding rather than the $2.8 million cut Governor Otter had proposed. The Tribune reports that Senator Cameron calls a $66 million cut to K-12 education unrealistic. Pullman police yesterday arrested a 22-year-old suspect in an acquaintance rape case. The name of the Washington State University student was not released. A 24-year-old Clarkston woman had told Pullman police she was at a party on Northeast Merman Drive late Saturday or early Sunday when she went into an adjacent bedroom to rest. She said she woke up to find the male suspect on top of her. A 69-year-old man is in critical condition at Harborview Medical Center after being shot several times by two Lewiston police officers and a Nez Perce County Sheriff's deputy yesterday on the Levee Bypass. Police have named the severely injured man, David L. Payton of Clarkston, as their suspect in a Thursday morning bank robbery in downtown Lewiston. Lewiston Police Captain Tom Green says Payton has no significant prior criminal record. He underwent several hours of surgery at St. Joseph Regional Medical Center in Lewiston last night. Green said the Idaho State Police will investigate the shooting. He said the shooters, whose names were not released, were all 20-year-plus law enforcement veterans who had never been involved in a shooting before. The landmark former Mission Girls' School that stood on a hill in Desmet burned to the ground yesterday. The three-story building, built beginning in 1908, was owned by the Coeur d'Alene tribe and being used for storage. The building was a notable landmark easily seen from U.S. Highway 95 by travelers between Coeur d'Alene and Moscow. Until 1974, it was called the Mary Immaculate School and used as a girls' school by the Sisters of Charity of Providence. The fire, which started around 3 a.m. Thursday, is being investigated by the Coeur d'Alene Tribal Police. Sister Dolores Elwart of the Sacred Heart Mission at Desmet told the Spokesman Review the fire apparently started in the basement laundry room. Because of the building's location on a hill, it also contained telecommunications equipment and antenna owned by the tribe. Traffic delays on U.S. Highway 12 reached as much as 59 minutes as a ConocoPhillips megalode, weighing more than 500,000 pounds and taking up both lanes of the highway, traveled along U.S. Route 12 near Kamiyai late Wednesday night and early Thursday morning. The Lewiston Tribune reports there were 10 delays ranging from 16 to 59 minutes during the second day of travel. The longest delay occurred as the megalode went around an extremely sharp curve between Greer and Kamiyai. Idaho Transportation Department spokesperson Adam Rush says ITD is requiring a new plan for getting through that tight spot before it will allow a second load to depart Monday. Permits obtained by ConocoPhillips stipulated traffic must be allowed to pass every 10 to 15 minutes. However, Rush said the Transportation Department will not impose any penalties at this time. Linwood Lahey, a leading opponent of the megaloads, was warned by state troopers early Thursday morning to allow for the free movement of traffic. Idaho State Police Captain Lonnie Richardson said Lahey, quote, attempted to delay the movement of the load, but that ISP is not contemplating any additional action because of Lahey's alleged behavior. Lahey described the incident as a misunderstanding and asserted there were three instances in which he had difficulty understanding the instructions on how to pass. Lahey said, "We have consistently said we don't want to do anything illegal and we don't want to do anything unsafe and we don't want to do anything that would hamper the progress of the loads." Lahey was one of a number of megaload opponents who are monitoring the progress of the load in an attempt to verify whether compliance with the Idaho Transportation Department travel permit is occurring. Richardson said if a car maneuvers around the megaload more than once, it captures the attention of state police and they attempt to determine who is in the car. Richardson also said police made contact with three or four people, including a pedestrian, as the load started its journey at the Port of Lewiston on Tuesday night. He said there was some suspicious activity, but none of those people attempted to interfere with the load at all. Weather stopped the megaloads from traveling any further Thursday night. Snow was forecast at milepost 100, halfway along the third segment that would have ended 5 miles east of the Loxaw Ranger Station. The oversized loads require clear pavement in order to travel. A storm is expected to produce 9 to 20 inches of snow in the next 3 days in the area. The megaload will remain parked at a pull-off in Kuski until weather permits further movement. The four Japanese-made ConocoPhillips megaloads heading to Billings, consisting of half Coke drums, are the largest loads ever to travel the 175-mile segment of U.S. Highway 12 in Idaho. They weigh up to 675,000 pounds each. They are a precursor to the more than 200 similarly sized Korean-made megaloads ExxonMobil Canadian subsidiary Imperial Oil wants to ship from the Port of Lewiston to the vast tar sands oil extraction project in northeastern Alberta later this year. We'll have more on the megaloads issue later in this half-hour program. Yesterday, the House State Affairs Committee unanimously rejected a proposal to sell the Idaho Governor's Mansion and use proceeds to support the state park system. The bill was sponsored by Representative Grant Burgoyne of Boise. The Democrat Burgoyne said, "I think we're in an emergency situation. It doesn't seem prudent to me to continue spending money on an asset we aren't using." The mansion is currently unoccupied with the state covering maintenance costs of $120,000 annually. The 7,000-square-foot home was donated to the state by J.R. Simplot in 2005, specifically for use as a governor's mansion. A number of committee members were concerned that the state would end up paying a housing stipend to future governors if the mansion were to be sold. Several were also worried about language in the bill that gave the Department of Administration a limited time frame in which to sell the property. Burgoyne intended for all proceeds from the sale, plus the remainder of the maintenance fund, to go to the cash-strapped Department of Parks and Recreation. We now go to today's noontime rally and march for solidarity, which started at the University of Idaho Commons. Students wearing flags representing their home countries of Egypt, Tunisia, and Palestine, among others, spoke to the more than 120 students assembled in a light rain at the University of Idaho. Here's what they had to say.
Well, I just wanted to say real quick here, we have some speakers from Egypt and where else?
Tunisia.
Tunisia. And they will have something more intelligent to say than I have to say, but I just kind of wanted to say thank you for showing up. But make sure you take note of the fact that being here today is not so much enough. This is a start, but but you have to continue being active and you have to continue making noise. If we show up only today, then our actions are in vain and made only for ourselves so that we can feel better. But if we show up tomorrow in spirit and action, the next day, and keep making noise, not even just about this, but about the things we believe in and the things that we feel are important in the world, then we can't be so silent and we won't have so many problems. So without any further ado, please listen to these guys and they'll have, and women, excuse me, and they will have some more intelligent to say. So throw it up.
Yeah, I'm here to support my brothers and sisters in Egypt and my family there. This is for the free Egypt. We've been under this dictatorship for 30 years, and it's getting worse and worse. And all what we want to say is that Mubarak, step down and leave this country. It's a great country, and under your presidency for this long time, Egypt went down and down. We just need you to go down in peace, and we don't need anything else from you. We need a democratic presidency. We need a party that respects the people of Egypt, and we need a bright future for Egypt as was in the past before Mubarak and his regime. Thank you.
Hello everyone, thank you for coming here. I want to say that I'm so proud of my fellow men and fellow women in my country, Tunisia. I want to thank everyone who sacrificed himself or herself for this revolution. I'm so glad that we got rid of Ben Ali, this long-term dictator. However, we are still fighting to get rid of dictatorship. Our fight is not over yet. More than 200 people were killed. People who were protesting peacefully were shot in the streets. We want to get rid of dictatorship. We are still fighting, and all your support is appreciated. Thank you for coming here. Please and please sign the petitions that are being sent to Obama to freeze all the assets of the fallen president and his family. Please stand up with the Tunisians in their fight for freedom of expression, in their fight for liberty, in their fight for democracy. We are a peaceful people. We want to live peacefully. We want to live in democracy. Those are our lives, and those are the lives that we will not compromise on. Please join us and stand with us. Thank you so much. Long live Tunisia!
So just today, thank you very much, everyone coming here. I actually, just before I got here, was on the computer with a friend of mine in Egypt and told him about this little organization, and I can't even express his gratitude of their people in support today. This kind of shows only really the ability of what our generation can do, unifying, 2 weeks in Egypt, millions uniting for what one cause, hundreds today here, and who knows what can happen around the world and under corrupt governments and regimes for other people, for these to succeed. Tunis, Egypt, who next? Thank you guys very much.
Look, thank you very much for being here today. I just want to deliver a simple message here, is that our people back there in all of the region, all of the Arab countries, have been suffering for years and years and years under corrupt governments, oppressing people, no freedom of speech, and we are just kind of have, always you hear about elections, and it's nothing more a joke or something just to be presented to the West, but not to give real elections or freedom of speech to the people back there. I hope, or this is the first time in my life that I see some signs of hope that this will change. And by the move of people back there and the support of people here and everywhere in all of the world, we can have this. So we want your support all the time here and ask the governments here and everywhere to support the democracy in our countries, and we want to get rid of the regimes that have been controlling the countries there and oppressing people for tens and tens of years. The simple message that I have in my heart and have here in my t-shirt is just freedom. Freedom for all of the people and all around the world. Thank you. Can you hear me? If you hear me, shout free.
Free!
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 All of us here, different colors, different religion, different faith, but we all talk and understand the language of freedom. We are here because we have something in our heart. We understand the freedom, we know peace, and we have love. And if you have love and peace in your heart, you will feel your friends and other human beings all over the world fighting for their freedom right now. Back in Egypt, they are fighting for their freedom, empty hands. They are just standing in the front of large, big numbers of thugs and government-organized mobs, and they are shouting, freedom. So they can't hear you, but they will feel you, and they will feel your support. And this is all what you can do right now, is just feel it in your heart, and it will be reflected in all what you are doing. So it's freedom!
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 Thank you.
That was various foreign University of Idaho students and a single U.S. student leading a rally and march for solidarity today at the University of Idaho. The more than 120 people marched down 6th Street to Friendship Square in downtown Moscow, where the rally continued. KRFP will be broadcasting a special two-hour live edition of Democracy Now! On the Egyptian uprising tomorrow from 8 to 10 a.m. We now turn to another rally, also held in the rain, on Memorial Bridge over the Clearwater River in Lewiston on Saturday. Nearly 100 opponents to the ConocoPhillips and ExxonMobil megaloads were on hand, as were supporters of the megaloads. We'll have some longer interview segments today. Here's a quick clip from Brett Haverstick telling opponents about monitoring plans as the loads head up U.S. Highway 12.
Where we'll be driving at night on the highway behind the megaloads, collecting any and all data and information that we can use in future administrative appeals and litigation.
Here's Leonard Jack of Orofino, who works at a lumber mill, who supports the megaloads.
I think that a lot of the argument is unfounded, that they haven't done their research, that there's a lot of fears that they've installed in people that they don't understand that this is being done very professionally and been done by the letter of the law, and that I just think that we should all be supportive of anything that will bring economy to the state of Idaho.
What the opponents are saying is the more shocking thing is the barricading of the turnouts along the highway and how that might affect people who have vacation plans down there with 200 loads going over a long period of time.
I think that's pretty much a fallacy. They've made designated areas for them. They're trying to make it sound like they're going to block every turnover on the highway, and if they'll read, they will not block every turnover on pullover on the highway. It's impossible for them to do that and be within the letter of the law. That is only the designated pullouts to where they will be stopping and spending the night that they will have them totally for 24 hours. Other than that, I don't have, other than being prepared for ahead of time, yeah, for the load to come through, that they're going to be blocking them for 24 hours, not by anything that I've read.
Okay. Any other comments you might have about the arguments against the loads and your response?
No, not really. I just think that people need to really research it before they start trying to stop economic growth in the state of Idaho.
Are you with a particular group, or are you just out here on your own?
Just on our own.
Did you have a job in the trucking industry?
No. I work at a lumber mill.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for your time.
You're welcome.
All right.
That was counter-protester Leonard Jack Saturday in Lewiston. One of the interveners in the Idaho Transportation Department contested case megaload hearing held in December was Linwood Lahey of Kamiai. Lahey sees the barricading of the turnouts as a major problem.
We know that the permit authorizes them to blockade over 100 turnouts. Now, that doesn't mean they're going to blockade 100 turnouts, but they're authorized to do so. They have the power to do so. And so, we'll just have to see how many turnouts they're going to blockade. Or barricade, I should say.
And what would you say would be the worst case scenario, given maybe calculations based on the frequency of the ExxonMobil loads, if we even know how frequently they're going to run up the highway?
Well, we know that they had intended to start shipping November 15th. That's what they had announced. We know that they have stated 207 loads. And so they're not going to start shipping until this, sometime this spring, we assume. And so that's every night of the week. I mean, every single night for the rest of the year.
So in other words, over 100 turnouts blockaded 24 hours for several months.
Well, we don't know, again, how many they'll blockade. I mean, right. We haven't seen their permits.
But worst case scenario.
Worst case scenario. But the thing is, it's not just, they're authorized to blockade it for 24 hours before the shipment.
Right.
So if you have a shipment going every night, then clearly you have blockaded the turnouts in perpetuity, practically, and we've just tried to explain to Idaho Transportation Department that this is going to be some serious conflict, we think, when all the kayakers arrive and the tourists arrive and the campers arrive and all those folks are up there. There's going to be real conflicts and uses of those turnouts.
Well, do you think that they just plain might decide to arrive somewhere else for their vacations because if word gets out that these turnouts are blockaded 24 hours?
The word is already out that something's going on with Highway 12. And so, today in the digital age, word spreads quickly. I mean, if AAA, for example, puts up some kind of thing that says, there's nightly heavy, truck traffic on Highway 12, I mean, people will avoid Highway 12. And so, and also, camping, those campsites, all those beautiful campsites right along the highway, people are not going to, come over here and camp if they're going to be awakened every night at 3 a.m. With, convoys up to 4 miles long of noise and flashing lights, and so, yeah, I think it'll definitely impact the summer tourist trade.
Do you think they're going to be a lot noisier than your average large loads that normally make their way up Highway 12?
Well, we're talking about, of course, if you have a truck goes by at night, it's one truck. It's not a 4 mile convoy. In other words, when they have the flaggers up front and they have all these pilot vehicles and the state police are going to have flashing lights going by. That's a lot different than a truck going through.
I wanted to ask you what you thought about the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry poll, if you have any reaction to that or their methodology.
Well, I think the Lewiston Tribune had a good comment on it, pretty well debunked the poll. Just yesterday's Tribune, they pointed out in the cheers and jeers section that was simply not a sample that could possibly lead to any results like they announced. And I find it interesting, of course, that the poll was conducted, by the proponents of the megaloads, and a poll conducted by by six newspapers a while back showed that 42% of the North Central Idaho people were opposed to megaloads, and as I recall, it was 29% hadn't made up their mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was like 22% that were in favor. So, you know, that's I would have a lot more faith in a poll done by six newspapers than I would by the Idaho Association of Commerce and Industry.
Yeah, and I don't remember how many people were sampled in the six newspapers poll, but I believe, but I just read this week that the IACI poll only interviewed 150 people who live along U.S. Highway 12.
Yeah, I don't recall, and I don't know how they did their sampling. I'm just saying that,
yeah.
You know, when you know, it's just like a political poll and whatnot. The ones they let you know about are the ones that look favorable to them, and so I that's how I view the IACI poll. But there, you know, the thing is that this is, we need to remember also, this is a national issue. This is a U.S. highway. We like, you know, our opponents like to tell us that this is a U.S. highway, and by gosh, you know, it's U.S. commerce and you can't stop it and so forth. Well, but then when we start talking about the National Scenic Byway and the All-American Road and so forth, then they have a different story. Then they start saying, oh, well, you know, Idahoans this and Idahoans that. Well, you know, this is a, if it's a national highway, certainly people outside Idaho have a very strong interest in that highway.
That was Megalode intervener Linwood Lahey speaking during a protest on the Memorial Bridge in Lewiston Saturday afternoon. Lahey and the other 12 interveners have stopped their legal appeals of the ConocoPhillips Megalodes and intend instead to concentrate their efforts on stopping the ExxonMobil loads from here on out. Lahey and his wife operate three tourism-oriented businesses that focus on the Laxar River Corridor along U.S. Highway 12. One of Lahey's neighbors is Larry Nims. He's lived in Kamiai for 40 years.
I just feel like our quality of life upriver from here is high. You know, we're lucky to live where we live, and that will change with if this becomes a permanent corridor, this type of corridor, and it's so diametrically opposed to the kind of corridor that has been and has been established. You know, with the Lewis and Clark connection and all of that, the tourism people hosting out-of-staters, those will dry up, you know.
And how many people who live in the Kamiai area and the general area do you think depend on tourism for their livelihood?
Well, boy, I don't know the percentages there, but we all depend on it indirectly, for sure.
Larry Nims of Kamiai. Democratic Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow was also at Saturday's rally in Lewiston.
The $1,000 per permit is certainly not enough to cover the costs, and we needed to be a little bit proactive in terms of having money to compensate for the damage that's sure to be done to the roads. And so I felt that they walked in without very much information for us, and they tried to kind of make it up as they went along. And, you know, the repercussions of this are going to be terrible, I think, for the corridor and also for regarding the tar sands project. The repercussions are going to be terrible for all of us, I think. So we're not only doing damage to an asset that should be very precious to us, the Highway 2 or Highway 12, but also we're aiding and abetting something that's just about equivalent to declaring war on Mother Earth, and I feel bad about the whole thing.
So you believe that the state of Idaho had no real process for oversized loads approval?
Oh, I don't think they did. I think they were totally unprepared for that, and they went, apparently our political leaders went ahead and gave the okay for that sometime before we were even aware of it. And I don't think that they had thought through all of the implications of doing this, and I still don't think they have. I think that in terms of the issue of heavy loads, I know that we opened routes experimental routes for heavier truckloads down in southeast Idaho, and that was supposed to be followed by a report on how it affected the asphalt and so on, and I don't think we ever got anything definitive from that even. And now here we are moving ahead with a project that's many times the magnitude.
Representative Shirley Ringo of Moscow speaking on the Memorial Bridge over the Clearwater River in Lewiston Saturday. During the rally, a driver of a truck from Jack Buell Trucking of St. Mary's, Idaho, flipped the bird at the protesters on the bridge. Here's Aaron Ament of Moscow and his reaction.
Just been flipped off by a trucker, so what's your opinion of that?
He needs to be educated. The people that are really gonna suffer maybe more than the rest of us Idahoans, because fishing and recreating are just that, recreating. But there are people that drive trucks up and down that road day and night, 365 days a year. Where are they going to pull over to put on chains? Where are they going to pull over to sleep, to rest? Where are they going to pull over? What's going to be done to the industry that actually moves along the highways that is of some benefit to the people of Idaho?
Aaron Ament of Moscow. During a press conference held on Monday, KRFP citizen journalist Al Chidester spoke with Idaho Rivers United Conservation Director Kevin Lewis about the Forest Service's jurisdiction over the eastern section of U.S. Highway 12 in Idaho.
This proposal certainly, in our opinion, threatens the existing wild and scenic qualities of the Middle Fork Clearwater and the Lauksaw River. And we believe that both the state of Idaho and the federal government have an obligation to protect those values, to do the analysis and see if these kind of laws, they've never even done the analysis. They've never even sat down and asked the question and say, well, do these things affect the quality of this river? They've just basically said, we don't have to analyze that. We're just going to do it. And that's wrong. You know, they need to sit down, they need to do analysis. And, you know, when they're done, if they say that they don't, we say they do, that's a different story. But right now, they've never even done the analysis. They've never even asked or answered the question, you know, how will these affect all the values of that river corridor that currently exists? You know, how will that affect the recreational qualities? How will that affect the local businesses, the tourist businesses, the tourist economy? So, you know, they haven't answered any questions. They've just basically rammed this down our throats at the last minute.
So there's an environmental impact statement that they made on this, or didn't they?
I've never seen one yet. Nope.
No. Okay.
Something's missing.
Something's missing. Well,
at the very least, we believe that the Forest Service has the legal authority and the responsibility to do a NEPA analysis of this kind of proposal and make a determination, and then we go from there. So far, the Forest Service has sat on the sidelines. They've said, we don't like it. They've actually said they feel that it will impact the outstanding remarkable values of the river corridor. Yet, then the next breath, they say, well, but we haven't got any authority to do anything about it, and we disagree.
From where would their authority root from in the law or whatever?
Well, in the wild and scenic portion of the Middle Fork Clearwater and Lauksaw, that's primarily public land. It's all administered by the Forest Service. The highway is on an easement granted to the state of Idaho by the Forest Service. They didn't give them the land. They granted them an easement for a highway.
Are there terms for that easement?
There's terms for the easement.
And you've looked at that?
We've looked at it closely.
Okay, and you believe they're violating the terms of the easement?
I believe they are, yes. Yeah.
That was Idaho Rivers United Conservation Director Kevin Lewis speaking with KRFP citizen journalist Al Chidester at a Megalodes opponent press conference in Lewiston Monday. That's it for this special edition of the KRFP Evening Report. Tune in Monday at 5:30 for the next daily edition of the Evening Report. Nora Locken and Al Chidester assisted with today's show. I'm Lee Robartis. Don't forget to support KRFP by going to the KRFP website and becoming a member so we can keep news programs like this on the air. You can also send checks to 114 East 3rd Street in Moscow. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.